Next few minutes, I want to briefly talk about success for graduates. We want to talk about success, and this certainly can apply to all of us. How do we obtain success? And I want to look at really five secrets of success and how graduates and all of us can achieve success in our lives. But I think it's important that the first thing everyone does right now, you've got to define what success is for you. You've got to define that. You're really never going to be worth anything in life until you come to the point where you can say, now, here's my definition of success. This is the direction that my life needs to go. Well, what is that definition? Well, for a lot of people, it's money. Making a lot of money, having a lot of material things, having nice cars to drive and a big house to live in. For a lot of people, true success would be to kind of be well known among people, to be well thought of. Others might say, you know, having true success is having a family, rearing a family. And I guess all these things in their proper perspective are good and right in and of themselves. One time a son came to his father before he graduated, and the father said, "Son, you know, what are your plans after graduation?" Well, he said, "Dad, I think after graduation I'm going to work this summer, save up some money, and I'm going to go to the university and see what they know." The dad said, "Well, son, I think that's good and fine, but what then?" "Well, I guess after that I'll probably meet somebody, I'll find a wife." And the dad said, "Well, that's good, son, but what then?" "Well, I guess I'll start my career, and I have my plans already made. I'd like to be financially set by the time I'm in my late 40s, and I know the company that I really want to work for, and I've got a lot of definite plans." And the dad said, "Well, son, that's fine, but what then?" "Well," he said, "I suspect through all those years we'll raise some kids, and we'll rear those children up to have them ready to leave home, and eventually it'll be just me and my wife again, and sometime after that we'll probably retire." And the dad said, "Son, I think that's good, but what then?" "Well, Dad, I just really don't know, but I guess sometime after that I'll probably die." And the dad said, "Son, that's right, so what then?" So what are the keys to success in life? I want to mention five tonight. It's who you are, it's who you know, it's what you do, it's what you have, it's what you know. And what I want to do tonight for the next few minutes is talk about these five principles, and I want to kind of highlight these five principles briefly tonight, kind of putting them under a microscope, and I hope we'll all determine to put the Lord first in these areas. Number one, success is found in who you are. Now, who you are is not simply defined by the name that you wear. Who you are tonight is defined by your character. It's defined by how you choose to live your life. Who are you? And young people, up until now, most of your character has been defined by your parents' character. People know you by your parents. You're so-and-so's daughter. You're so-and-so's son. But you know, as you graduate, a remarkable thing begins to happen. Not only do you graduate from school, but you kind of begin to graduate from this character thing, and you're going to be defined more and more in adulthood by your character. Who are you? In our scripture reading tonight, we notice Romans 12 and verse 1, where Paul said, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God." You see, we are to serve God. There's the defining factor. That's how you need to be defined. And hopefully, in the final analysis, the definition of you and your character is going to be based on this. Did he or she serve God? That's the defining characteristic of who you are. The next verse says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we do that by studying the Word of God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do I serve God? Well, we could go in many directions tonight, but let me mention some just briefly. I think we serve God by always being a benevolent person. According to Galatians 6 and verse 10, you care about people. We serve God also with edification of Christians. The Bible says in Romans 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honor, preferring one another. In other words, we're to build one another up as Christians. We ought never to be involved in tearing one another down. We also serve God by being evangelistic. The one who serves the Lord is always soul conscious. We're interested in the souls of other people. You see, who you are matters. And who you are is going to determine whether you're going to be a success or a failure. And we also serve God by always worshiping Him faithfully. And that's so very important. You know, some of our graduates are going to go out into life. Some are going to go to college. Some will take a job. You're going to begin your independence. I want to challenge you. Whatever you do after you graduate, and all of us as well, worship God faithfully. Show the Lord through your worship that He is, in fact, the most important thing. And so define success by who you are, in that you serve God with a passion, with a dedication, with a seriousness of spirit that says, this is what I'm going to do because I'm a Christian, because this is who I am. Number two, another secret of success is going to be determined by who you are. No, by your relationships. I want you to think with me briefly tonight about your relationships. The Bible has a whole lot to say about our interaction with other people. You need to always value your family. Ephesians 6 and verse 2 tells us to honor father and mother. Now, when we grow up, we certainly leave the time when we are to obey father and mother. But we never grow past the time when we are to honor our father and mother. And let's prize highly our family and our responsibilities that we have to our family. And also be very careful about the friends that you choose. That's a tremendous pitfall in the lives of many people. The Bible still says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil companionships corrupt good morals. I am going to be influenced by the people with whom I associate. There's no way around it. And you need to remember that sorry people who serve the devil instead of the Lord are always there. They're always waiting. People who serve the devil are always accepting. And anytime you want to choose that crowd, they're always going to be waiting for you. It's not hard to be friends with sorry people because they're going to be there. And if you choose to follow a path of sin, that crowd is always going to be there. Also, be careful about who you date. Success is defined by who you know, so I would encourage you to be careful about who you date. You know, funny thing about dating is you usually end up marrying someone you date. And so it's important to date good people. Don't be afraid. Don't be uncomfortable or hesitant about turning down some invitations for dates. Remember that your success will be determined to a great degree by who you know. And so be careful about your relationships because it's very, very important that you realize that success in your life is going to be very much relevant based upon those relationships. Number three, success is also determined by what you do. I want us to talk about occupations for just a minute. You know, a lot of people graduating are facing this wonderful opportunity that's available for young people in America. Just look around us today in this country. There are wonderful opportunities available for young people which are simply not afforded to many other people in the world. I think about our college students and our high school students that as they grow and leave high school, perhaps they'll go on to college. Look at the opportunities that our young people today have to go to college. And in particular, the opportunity that they have to attend a Christian college right around the corner. There's so many educational opportunities in our area. And so these wonderful opportunities, folks, are just not afforded to other people in the world today. We're very blessed. And when you think about your job, your career, always remember Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Now I want you to note Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28 for just a minute. The Bible says there, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him who needs. Two principles I want you to see from this passage. Number one, he says, if you stole, don't steal anymore. In other words, whatever career you may choose, make sure that career is based on honesty. You always treat people fairly. Don't engage in a job that involves things that are not fair, not ethical, not right. And if you find the job that you happen to take is not ethical and right, you need to find another job. A second principle here is that not all jobs are good. Not all careers are good for a couple of reasons. Some are not good because of the very nature of those jobs. They endorse and encourage sin. And you cannot engage in those things that promote that which is sinful and consider yourself having a good job. An example might be a job that promotes pornography or gambling or alcohol or other things which in their natural use are sinful. You see, a job is not good if in that job I have to promote things that are sinful and wrong. So be careful what you do. And so success is defined by who you are, who you know, what you do, and then fourthly tonight, it's defined by what you have. I want you to think about material possessions. I want us to talk about money. The Bible has a great deal to say about money. We're all familiar with 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And you know, that's a fascinating verse there. And it's a caution that I think you and I need about money. And if you're starting out in your independent life and you're a graduate, I think it's very important that you get some principles about money firmly seated into your heart. And I think if you're older tonight, you need to get these principles firmly cemented into your heart and mind about money. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. What are these principles that we need to have seated in our hearts? Number one, we need to remember who owns all things. God owns everything, and I own absolutely nothing. Some of you are going to make a lot of money in your chosen occupation. Others may not make as much money, but it really doesn't matter. Regardless of that, always remember it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. And we need to live in gratefulness and in gratitude to Him for all that He's given us. Secondly, another principle about money, and this is difficult in our culture, to exercise discipline, never overspend. Never spend more than you have in order to look to others like you have more than you do. You go out and you start trying to keep up with the Joneses, you'll find out they've refinanced and they're ahead again, and on the battle can go. Another principle about money is make sure in every instance involving money and material things that you always act honestly. In life, you're going to face circumstances where if you do the wrong thing, you're going to gain financially from it. Never put a price tag on your integrity. A fourth principle about money is never place the temporal over the eternal. The things that we see are temporary. The things which are not seen are eternal. Don't place the temporal above the eternal. Number five, though, as we think about these secrets as I close tonight, that will determine whether or not you're successful. Number five is what you know. I want to challenge all of us, but I want to challenge especially our young people to set as a goal to familiarize yourself with every book of the Bible. Now, that takes a lot of time and work, and some are simply too lazy to do it. But we need to study our Bibles to be approved unto God. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. We need to study our Bibles because one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to be judged by that word. John 12 and 48. We need to study the Bible so that we can know how to talk to other people about the Word of God. As we're admonished in 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, sanctify, set apart the Lord God in your heart. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks a reason for the hope that is in you. Folks, it's all about character. And character cannot be purchased. It cannot be rented. Character cannot be imported from afar. It can't be bargained for. Character is not something that you inherit. But character is something that's homegrown, something on the inside of each of you that you need to nurture. Success, I'm not talking about the world's definition of success, and I hope you know that tonight. Ultimately, the world's definition of success is going to amount to nothing. A big old zero. But folks, the Lord's definition of success matters. Because inside of you, there's a soul that's going to live forever and forever, either in a place of bliss or a place of torment. And it doesn't matter if we're young or old. That's a choice that we are going to have to make. It's a choice you're going to have to make. While together we stand.